Her name was Parvati. What was her name? Parvati? Drupati. Drupati. She was a very pious woman. Very pious woman. I mean, she loved Krishna with all her heart. All she could think was Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna was the avatar, just like Baba is. Unfortunately, these five brothers that were husbands were gamblers. And they lose their empire, everything they had. The only thing was left for them was their wife. And unfortunately, one night when they were drunk, they bet on her, and it's gone. So they go back home. They are so sad about having done that the next day. I mean, they are about to kill themselves. And they can't believe it. They say, we have to tell the truth to her. They go to Drupadi and they say, I'm sorry, we love you so much. You're the most motherly person we could ever ask for, and you're so pious and this and that. But we lost you on a table. Now, she is really, really sad because she knows that they lost her in the game to people that are very evil-minded. So she goes in her prayer room and starts screaming. She says, Krishna, who is in Vrindavan, help me, Krishna, who is in Vrindavan. Now, Vrindavan was very far away. And Krishna used to do anything for her because she felt so much having Krishna in her heart. Krishna wouldn't come. So she started banging her head to the wall and she says, Krishna, should you promise me? Can't you have pity for me? And then in the midst of her asking Krishna to come, she says, at least Krishna in my heart answer me. Immediately, Krishna appeared. And then she says, why? Why didn't you appear sooner? I was dying. He said, because you asked me to come from Vrindavan, and I was in your heart, so I had to go to Vrindavan and then come to you, because you asked me to come from there. So this is our affair with the truth. That makes me cry. This is our affair with the truth. It is right here, and we're asking it to come from heaven or from someplace far away. And this is why some of the prayers don't get answers for years and years, because it's just the recipient has not taken enough a step to say, I am yours. I have confidence. I know who I am. I know what, you know, inside of me is. So any question on that? When I go into devotion, dear God, people better watch, because I could be sobbing for hours.
Where does self-sacrifice come into play?
So beautiful. I was hoping you asked, because when I said it, I knew it was like a red light going. Why self-sacrifice? Self-confidence in who we are gives satisfaction, gives ananda, which is peace. That gives us satisfaction. Self-sacrifice comes that you stay in the world but not of it. You are not of it, but you stay for the sake of being a servant to others. That's self-sacrifice. You sacrifice that false self is gone. And then the true self that you are having confidence in is becomes a servant to humanity, and not necessarily being Mother Teresa. They could be a servant in silence. They do so much good. Just their being, their existence uplifts, you know, lift people up. That's how you know you're in the right place, when you're lifted from that divine energy. So that's where the self-sacrifice comes. And after self-sacrifice, which has double meaning, which means by that time you don't have the false self, sacrifice is finished. And the real self is about to be giving and sacrificing itself, because once you know yourself, you know, what am I doing here? But it gives you joy to give. After that is self-realization, because there is no identification with the body to keep you from realizing who you are. Does that clear it a little bit? So the basement, the foundation, which is very necessary, is self-confidence. Now, when we were building our home in Reno, the one that you all been there, when they were bringing the foundation up, one night it was still the wet sweat cement. I went around it and I wrote the name of God on it. And then, of course, the worker came next day and thought that there was some stuff going on, and he cleaned it. I went to him and I said, please don't clean it when I write something on it. He says, okay, ma'am, I didn't know what it was. So I wrote it again. Now, why do I bring this example? Because it symbolically shows that I want my foundation in the truth. And that's what we do with the self-confidence. When the foundation is in the truth, no earthquake can, like the other day, can shake it. No fire can burn it. No bomb. That's exactly what came to my meditation. It came self-confidence, no bomb. No bomb can destroy it. And it's something that once we realize it, no matter what happens to the appearance, we don't lose that. And that is such a good news to work on that and to be quiet in that, be still and know that I am. And then when you get still enough, then there's what is left is just the I, not even am. It's just the I. It's just that silence. That's So when we go to work, when we are confronted with a situation that actually we are not equipped for, we need to practice that. We need to practice, yes, I as Tony, as Mihaela, as Ida, I as Suzanne and Richard, I don't know anything. I'm nobody. But oh, I sure have tremendous confidence to the who you I really am. Or I really have confidence. If that doesn't fit your language, you can replace it. Oh, I know I am God, or I know God is in me, or I know I'm part of the truth. Whatever sits with you. So this way we eliminate what is changing as me as a Suzanne or I as a Suzanne, and I'm replacing it with this confidence in the right place, the right source within myself. And that is, I don't know, it's just very good. I think it's really good to practice that. And I am practicing it. I am not graduated by any means. I do practice. For me, practicing is only for the sake of the mind that I practice. I have no doubt of who I am. It's just for the sake of the mind. Now and then, if it's necessary, I practice the self-confidence and the trust. So the trust meditation will be a very helpful tool for us to do. If you have any question on the trust meditation, ask me. And
so we were given this promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Realize what it is.
The promise is given to you in your bosom. If I may say it in that lotus flower that we were talking about, the memory of it is there. But like Baba would say, what good is it to have electricity if you have not plugged it in some outlet where you can actually flip it out? So the promise is in our bosom. And why we have not discovered it before is because all the senses cater to what she calls outside. Do you see that? Now, by reversing our attention and realizing that we were not born in vain and not by the power of the physical or strength of the mental, do we need to solve our problem, but by that promise, which is the spirit, you know, you can call it that. And so it's hidden, it's dormer here. And once you become, like once you're shown that there is a promise like this, and once you take it to your heart and rely on it, you will taste the fruit of it. You see, because my fruit is not going to give you the sweetness. But if you take it to heart, if it makes sense what I'm saying, we try it, we practice it, we say, okay, I'm going to rely on that for some time until I am proven right. I read that once in a Sufi book, Anayat Khan. It was beautiful. That was many, many years ago when I was struggling with doubt, self-doubt. I had all of these unbelievable experiences and still the doubt would seep in and ruin it. So I was reading this book and one page says, you trust your guru, which in my case was Baba. You trust it and you trust it until you are proven right. Not wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. So what is the biggest guru? Who is the most eternal guru? Is that. That I, that is you are. But in order, most of the time, in order for us to know that there is a guru within us, that I, that we need to have confidence, a teacher has to appear from outside and says, oh, Mihaela, you prayed in private. You prayed, and here I am. Now go, you know. And that's what happened in my case. I cried and screamed and prayed and pulled my hair out, and I asked to be face-to-face with God. And I was. And then what did I find? Myself. Because nowhere you can go that you can't find it. Because we're carrying it. And so that's why the practice is important. Because you're gaining more and more confidence by using it and benefit from it. It's just like taking a medicine, like Baba would say. What good is it to take someone to the doctor and get the appropriate medicine if the person puts it beside the bed and goes to sleep and doesn't take it? I mean, it's good to know that it's there anytime you want to pick it up. And that's what is the beauty of it. Most people that come here, they would never practice it for some times to come. But it doesn't matter because the seed is there. And one day, someplace, most unlikely, they will remember when they need it. The meditations, the different things we do here. And then they are ready to cultivate it and nourish it and bring it to the surface. Ramana Maharshi, who I like to quote, someone asked him, said, Ramana, when does the practice of inquiry, his teaching was to sit and ask, who am I? Because that would take you to the source of the mind, which we've done here. So that's another method you guys can do. I used to do it all the time. And they asked him, he said, how long should we practice? He said, until there is not a trace of weakness in your mind. Until nothing can